Good evening. You're listening to Panhandle Community Radio. This is 88.5 KRFY, and you've tuned in for Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy. And each week at this time, we're talking to representatives from each of the 50 states, folks who hail from, spent time in, once upon a time came from each of the 50 states in our union and who now find themselves here, part of our community in North Idaho. And we talk to two states, talk about two states per night. We're moving on now to the Grand Canyon state, the 14th most populous state in the union, home to more than 7.5 million people. It is the 48th state in the union, one of our 20th century states, which was adopted as a state on February 14th, 1912. We are talking to an Arizonan named Susan Simmons. Thank you for being here, Susan.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Is that what someone from Arizona is called, an Arizonan?
I think it, yes. Not, that works.
We find, right? Different people from different states, you know, have an "ite" on the end of it, like an Arizonite. Nah, that doesn't work. That sounds too. Where in Arizona were you born?
I was born in the town of Mesa, which is a suburb of Phoenix, the mega metropolis of Phoenix.
Okay. And where in the state is Phoenix located?
Almost smack dab in the middle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And large?
Large.
Large. Okay. Mesa is
it
large.
It is a big city.
Okay. And what was it like growing up there? I take it that
That's where I was born. I grew up in Flagstaff.
Oh, University of North Arizona.
Exactly. Yes.
Tell me about the difference between the two.
Big difference. We're talking not only elevation. Flagstaff is 7,000 feet.
Okay.
But much colder. It lives in the largest contiguous ponderosa pine forest in the country.
Ooh.
Yes, I want to say like 2.5 million acres.
A ponderosa pine.
So it's just a beautiful, cold, dry desert still.
Skiing?
Skiing, that's where I grew up skiing.
Ah.
At Arizona Snow Bowl.
Okay. And Flagstaff is?
A little further north, but still central.
Still central. And how far from the Grand Canyon?
Ooh, maybe an hour drive. I'm really bad at that. An hour drive to the south rim, but it's 3 hours to the north rim because you have to drive around
that's
the
right.
canyon.
And doesn't the north rim have ponderosa pine as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And the north rim is at 9,000 feet.
Oh,
so
that's right.
It's up there.
Wow. And what is it like to be at that high elevation with that climate?
Well, I guess you get really good at breathing. I don't know. I mean, other than you just don't, growing up there as a kid, you don't even think twice about it. But you do notice that people go up there as athletes. They train. There's a big training facility, Olympic training facility.
Interesting.
So you're still aware of that as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about it, but you don't think anything of it until you go to sea level as an adult.
What kind of town is Flagstaff?
It's a typical mountain town, you know, skiing, all the recreation you can think of. Mountain biking's big, rock climbing's big. The skiing culture, it tries to be a ski town, but it just doesn't get the moisture. However, I can tell you they did open last week, the Arizona Snow Bowl. So they've had like close to 50 inches, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I still have family that lives there and skis.
So recording this on December 1st, they sounds like they beat us to the punch.
They did.
Ahead of Schweitzer.
Yes.
I've been through Arizona. I've been to Arizona a couple of times, but not until I was an adult. And I remember, and I was driving, and I was very surprised. You know, in my head, I kind of thought, as soon as you cross into Arizona, it's going to be hot. I get to, you know, I can strip down to my T-shirt, but it was winter, and it was still winter in Arizona, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't get cooler, or doesn't get warmer, I guess, until you get down to the southern part of the state.
Oh, yeah. And there it gets hot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
I'm looking at some information here. I'm finding out that Phoenix is the capital and the largest city and is the most populous state capital in the United States.
No kidding.
Because it's spread out, you imagine?
I guess so. And fifth most populous city in the United States.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
Which I would have put it maybe in the top 15. I don't think I knew it was top five.
That it was that big.
And yeah. I think that growth has been in the last 25, maybe 30 years. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really blown up. Like, mm-hmm. I've even seen the freeways come in. I mean, it's just all those little towns have just grown into one big mm-hmm. city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been recent that this growth has occurred.
Aside from being born in that area, did you spend much time there?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Yes. Just because my dad and his family are from the southern part of the state. They were farmers. Mm-hmm. So we spent a lot of time down south.
Yeah. How do you get through a summer day in Phoenix, Arizona?
Most people
stay
inside.
Stay indoors.
It's the opposite. It's a flip from up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Stay in the AC.
I can remember as a kid growing up in northern Indiana, every year we would get a gift from a cousin or something, Arizona Highways.
Yes.
And, I would
beautiful
just go through that magazine and dream myself into the different mm-hmm. landscapes.
Yes.
And, boy, you'd be hard-pressed to find a state that has as much natural beauty.
Natural beauty and just diversity. I do somewhat put Idaho in that category.
Okay.
The diverse ecosystems and just landscapes. Yeah, Arizona's very unique.
And you've been to the Grand Canyon?
Oh, yes. I've spent quite a bit of time.
You have?
Oh, yeah. A lot of hiking. Yeah, fortunate to do the river.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've hiked it about 6 times now I've been down there.
Yeah.
South Kaibab Trail. I've always mm-hmm. done the south rim, never from the north rim. Okay. I've been on the north rim. But what's it like for you, the feeling when you just stand on the rim of the Grand Canyon and look out over it?
It's so funny. I always the image that comes to my mind is Chevy Chase in Vacation, where he's with his family, and he just like stands on the rim, does a mm-hmm. quick nod, like, okay, we've seen it. But no, it is, it's so vast that you almost can't take it all in. And like, mm-hmm. if you've done the hiking that you've done, mm-hmm. you're able to see how big it is when you're in there.
It's different when you're down mm-hmm. in the canyon, looking mm-hmm. up at the rim, and you realize the only way I'm going to get back up there is me. Yeah. Jack, have you ever been there?
I have. I did, on that same road trip that I took down, brought me to the Grand Canyon, and that I think I've only been there twice, but mm-hmm. it is spectacular. Unbelievable. I didn't even go down in, or, barely. Took one of the very little, mm-hmm. the short little day hikes, but and incredible. Doesn't disappoint. No. You'd think, how could it live up to the hype?
But it does.
But it does.
Yeah.
It does. So did you work there, or what kind of hikes did you do in the canyon?
Really just getting a permit and mm-hmm. doing multiple days. Just mm-hmm. taking the time to really get down in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then taking the time to really hike back up, because there's nothing like hiking out of there. You know, Jim.
Absolutely. And there's three parts to it. There's the rim, then there's the Tonto Rim, and then there's down by the river.
Right.
And each one is absolutely breathtaking, but, you got to go into it.
I mean,
that'd be my response.
I mean, it would be it's a geologist's dream.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. the colors and whatever. Are there other areas of Arizona that are as breathtaking as stunning?
Yes. I mean, first thing that comes to mind, other than the northern part of the state, is the Sonoran Desert.
Oh, tell me about that.
That's going to be more like that Tucson, but really that southern part that goes into Mexico. I'm mentioning that because mm-hmm. there's the Mojave Desert, which I'd also like to talk about. But yeah, just the Sonoran Desert. It's, where did I read that it's the wettest desert? I could be wrong. If they get the monsoon season that they normally would get in mm-hmm. years past because, mm-hmm. you know, the droughts are a thing right now. It's just a beautiful, beautiful desert that just is in bloom. There's a lot of wildlife. Oh. It's so rugged. The mountains are so sharp, just like the vegetation, the cacti, the trees, everything has thorns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's just a beautiful, beautiful place.
The Arizona highways would always, in the springtime, show the cacti with the different blooms and mm-hmm. blossoms on it. And you go, whoa.
And it's real.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
The Sonoran Desert in the springtime is a sight to behold.
Worth the trip. Absolutely. Do you get back often?
I do.
Now, living up here in North, we ask other people coming from other states, when you're up here, you go, well, when I get back to, you know, I'm going to have a at so-and-so, you know, I mean, is there any food item that you've missed or that there's nothing like back home?
The Mexican food is different.
In what way? Can you?
Maybe it's a Sonoran style.
Mm, okay.
I'm not really sure how to pinpoint that, but only because I think New Mexico might have a different take on theirs, but just the Mexican food is different.
Okay. Is there such a thing as an Arizonan accent?
I wonder because people say I have an accent, but I don't hear it. So I wonder, that's a really good question. I wonder if there is such thing.
I think so. I detected, a way of speaking that doesn't match.
It's uh-huh. It's a little slower. And that's what I'm picking up. You're hanging on to some of the consonants and vowels, and I like that. You know, I would not expect a rapid sort uh-huh. of way to express yourself like I would from New York City. You know, but that's a far cry, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's not, it's certainly not a Southern accent. It's a, it's a Southwestern accent. It's an Arizona accent.
A little vocal drag in there.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Okay.
There you go. I can live with that.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, let's see. That's so the Sonoran Desert and the, what was the other one?
And the Mojave Desert. Mojave. Just because my husband and I lived in Lake Havasu also for a time. And that's where my parents are from, that Parker, Lake Havasu area. That's where they met in high school.
Beautiful.
And it's very different, very dry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still very rugged. The mountains are just big and sharp, mm-hmm. but just not the vegetation. They don't have the wildlife. Mojave Desert's very different.
You mentioned that Phoenix has just exploded in the last 20, 25 years. What draws people to Phoenix?
Wow. I'm guessing.
Mm, go for it.
It's the all the economic, like all the large companies have come in to like, you know, they moved out of California
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
moved into Arizona. This is my take.
Okay.
Really. I just think it's just the business growth have really brought in families.
Okay.
Maybe other companies have come from the Midwest, just other regions of the U.S., and it's just brought a lot of people.
I do remember one time driving from Phoenix to Tucson, an airplane graveyard,
yes.
you know, where they take these old airplanes, passenger airplanes, just park them in the desert, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know whether they just sit there or I just was, you know, my nose was up to the car windshield just looking at it, you know. Do you know what?
Who? I do. I know exactly where you're talking about.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't imagining it. It was absolutely stunning.
It was not a dream.
No. Good.
Huh. Let's see. The 48th state, it did not become a state until
1912.
Do you know the story of that, Jim? Why is it so late?
I have no idea. The only reason I know that is because of a postage stamp, you know, that celebrated its 50th anniversary. I do not know the story behind 1912 because we just did this morning somebody with a state from 17 something, or the first state.
Delaware,
yeah. Uh-huh. You know, but that's the 48th until we get uh-huh. Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah, I guess I don't, because it was the territory was part of the United States in, I think, 1850.
Late 1800s.
Yeah, 1850.
I think it was like a it was Arizona Territory, and then like the Gadsden Purchase. I'm not a historian.
Yeah.
But these are growing up there. These are little names and terms you always hear.
The Gadsden Purchase. There's a postage stamp from about 1953, a gold colored one. I remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
I couldn't tell you much more beyond that though. But
well, and keep in mind, this was like such a wild, wild west scene. Like, I mean, we're talking cowboys and Indians. You have the OK Corral. Down at Tombstone, the surrender of Geronimo.
You've been to Tombstone?
Oh, yes.
Is it touristy?
Very. But it is, it's a true cowboy town. They've really kept it authentic. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a strong word, but. And that's in the southern part of the state, closer to the Mexico border.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, it just was a cowboys and Indians shoot 'em up kind of place.
Okay.
Until the late 1800s.
Yeah. I'm guessing the existence of air conditioning probably had made for a major population boom, as it did in Florida, too. Once you actually can
live there.
Once you can live there. Yes, because I hear stories from my grandparents, how they used to hang, like, wet sheets in the house just to keep it cool.
The swamp cooler effect.
Oh, swamp coolers. They were still around when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You don't see them anymore, but.
Yeah. My memory, another memory I had of just driving through Arizona was, so I was alone and I was driving a car across the southern part of Arizona heading towards California in the wintertime. And I just remember coming around a corner. Jim and I, as listeners will hear Jim and I talk about those long straight roads that you find in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. But the longest straightest road I think I've ever seen was in Arizona and kind of taking a turn. And it was like a drawing that you do on a piece of paper. You just draw a flat horizon and then the line of the
going off
of the road going straight until it just disappears against the horizon. Can't even see where it goes. And that was, spectacular. I wish I knew where I was when that happened, which desert I was in. But right. It was very memorable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Susan, I need to ask you, the upper northeastern corner, that's the Four Corners. You ever been there?
I have not.
Ah,
I have not done
that. I
want to
find somebody
who,
yes, exactly, exactly. You know, that... there's got to be a place where you can put all four down.
I think that there is.
You know, I wonder though if there's a certain way that you do it, that you put one hand here, one, you know, facing north or facing south, if there's a way that you do it. But I'm just intrigued. I've never been to Four Corners.
I need to, too.
Yeah, that would be a fun thing to
Jim,
do.
Jim, because you're mentioning the northeastern part of the state, we really should talk about the Navajo and Hopi Reservation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just our indigenous people that really settled that area.
And still carve out lives there.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Is that's still a major, that's a reservation in the Northeast?
And I want to say it's the large, I hate saying these things and not knowing, but I do believe it's the largest reservation in our country.
Huh.
And it really consumes that far northeast corner. And really beautiful, beautiful country again.
One of the things I remember on my trips to Arizona, sunsets.
Mm.
You know, in terms of, you know, we get a bit of it here with the alpine glow and whatever, but it just goes on forever.
It's significant.
Yeah, and it doesn't disappear rapidly.
No.
It, you know, you can enjoy it for a while. Anything that we haven't mentioned about Arizona that you feel that our listeners, in order to create a feel for the state?
Other than you just have to go see it.
Mm.
Like Jack's saying, just go drive. Just drive through the state, the major interstates. You will see so much, and you'll just see how diverse and beautiful it is. I do not recommend going in the summertime. It is hot. Mm-hmm. It'll be hot for 4 or 5 months of really death-defying heat.
Well, one of the things we cannot ask you is that we've asked a lot of the representatives from their states is, what's the humidity like?
Zero.
Zero humidity. And having zero humidity, do you find that your skin dries out and that if you walk across a carpet, static electricity and things like that?
Yes. Yes.
You know, when I lived in Billings for a while, and about that's about, oh, I forget how high up, though, but dry as can be, when I would put hand lotion on, I swear I could hear the sucking sound. You know, I mean, just, you know, so I would imagine that even up in Flagstaff, no humidity?
Very little. It is. It's just a high, dry desert. Well, and people move there for those reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Frank Lloyd Wright move his studio out to Arizona?
Yeah. He did. He was Wisconsin.
Yep.
And he came out there to spend half the year, most of the year.
Yeah. That was, Taliesin West, right?
Did you go there, Jack?
No, I've never been there. No. I'd like to.
No,
beautiful.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
As an Arizonan, can you put your finger on what makes you different, or what makes an Arizonan different than just than somebody from New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, Southern California? Is there something that makes you an Arizonan, or how do you relate to that region as a whole and your place in it?
Yeah, maybe so, and that's just because, you know, I really feel like I am from there because of my family. But there's just like the cotton farming. There's the citrus. Copper was always talked about when I was young, the mining. Mm. But I think that is what makes it different from the other southern corridor states.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything from your upbringing in Arizona, whether in the family or a dish that you make, you know, that's, you know, something that you bake or create that ties you to your Arizona roots?
It keeps going back to the Mexican food.
Ah, okay.
It really, only because that's what my family tends to eat. Yeah, enchiladas, tostadas, tacos. But we also would take an annual quail hunt. My family has been going to the same spot in the Sonoran Desert since 1969. It was a very big deal for my dad and his side of the family. But really, we considered it a family reunion, but we go every year in October. I haven't been for the last couple of years because I've been up here. But yeah, they cook quail.
Do they roast it or barbecue it or
over a fire? Or a lot of them like to fry it in a Dutch oven.
Ah, okay.
So that might be something that...
Unique.
Unique, yes.
Quail. Native to Arizona, or at least what is the word? Indigenous? It's currently native to Arizona?
I'm going to say yes, so I hope that's the correct answer.
Okay.
Yes, and that's the gamble quail.
I didn't know that
my family would hunt.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't... What's a bird doing in a desert like that?
Well, that's the thing, is in the Sonoran Desert, there's a lot of low-lying vegetation.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's a phenomenal ecosystem.
Yeah.
And that's why people have to go. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Did you ever run into a pecorino?
No. Oh, is that similar to like a javelina?
I have. That's what I'm... Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Javelina. Yes, that's what I...
They are around.
Where did I get pecorino?
That's a cheese.
Yeah, did you
ever run what you were getting at.
With a wild cheese. Did you? Yeah, they're cute.
They are cute.
But they can be...
They're considered nuisances.
Nuisances. Oh. That's the word I wanted.
Because I lived in Tucson, so I went to U of A. I lived in Tucson for almost 15 years. And they're known for... You leave your trash out. They come around.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, they burrow. They're necessary. We need them.
You bet. You mentioned Tucson, and of course, you can't go very far without thinking of Linda Ronstadt.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hails from Tucson. Well, Susan, we want to thank you so much. We're winding down, and thank you so much for stopping by the studio and sharing Arizona with us.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.